Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Bob Bain, author of The Performance Stat Potential, a leadership strategy for producing results. So, Bob, organizations can change remarkably fast when the right conditions are in place. And in your book, The Performance Stat Potential, you identify four conditions that can make change possible. Could you tell us about those?
Yeah. Basically, the organization needs some competences. You can't just do this in any organization. If the organization doesn't have some things that it needs to get it done, the leadership team has to provide it. The first organizational competence is, I would argue, is a results-focused mindset, that we are focused on actually accomplishing specific purposes. Second is, do we have an analytical bent? Some people are very analytical. They can look at data or other forms of information and try to learn from that. So it's an analytical learning capacity that any organization needs to build. Also, there's a diversity of leadership roles. There's a variety of things that leaders do. Henry Mintzberg from McGill identified a list of them and says, look, managers do a whole bunch of different things. They provide information. They make decisions. They function as a figurehead. And he gave several examples. We need those leadership roles throughout the organization, whether it's a jurisdiction or a subunit within a jurisdiction. And then I just would also emphasize that, therefore, you got to spend some time helping people who don't have those competences develop them. Can we run, as they did in New York at the Administration for Children's Services, a leadership academy to train people? People who started out as welfare workers, had they gone to college and learned analytical techniques? Maybe not. Maybe they were forced to taste a statistics degree because that was a requirement to get their social welfare graduate degree, but that was not why they went into this business. Well, if we're going to move them from being not just frontline social workers, but the supervisors and managers of frontline social workers, we have to give them some training. And then the last organizational competence is purpose-driven persistence. Are we going to be persistent? Are we going to focus on a purpose? It's not just persistence, but persistence for a particular purpose, persistence for a particular result. And if people have those, they are much more likely to be successful.
So, Bob, your book's subtitle is A Leadership Strategy for Producing Results. And you identify or outline 16 leadership behaviors that can facilitate a performance stat strategy. Would you highlight, say, the initial four behaviors and how adopting them can contribute to better results?
Okay. I think it's important here to distinguish. There are 16 items, okay? And we obviously are going to cover those. The first four are more about focusing people on what's to be accomplished, and the last dozen are more about motivating to do that. So the first one is simply repeating and repeating what we're trying to accomplish anyway, making it really clear that everybody in the organization understands what our job is. Now, the problem is, the first time you say it, people say, oh, that's really nice, and they forget about it. And the second time they say it, oh, yeah, they send it again, oh, that's interesting. And so you got to make it really clear, and you got to repeat and repeat and repeat, because people don't take you seriously until you've repeated it. Second is looking at the data to determine what your performance deficits are that you have to fix next. Analyzing the data tells us what we should do next. Creating targets tells people, this is what we're going to have to accomplish by this particular time. And then the fourth leadership behavior is making assignments. Don't only have a target, but have people who have specific assignments to do specific things so that target will get achieved.
And as a follow-up, you highlight, perhaps you can highlight a few of the remaining 12 behaviors. And more particularly, how are they designed to motivate individuals? Maybe there are a couple that you would want to talk about.
Okay, well, a simple one I'll talk about is distributing comparative data. Nothing gets a meaning to pay more attention than a bar chart in which people see, oh, that guy's really good. Look at how tall that bar is. Oh, that person isn't doing so well. Oh, I'm in the middle. It compares people, and most people like to be better than other people. And so particularly if you have a bar chart with a line that's the target, and if you're above the line, you're successful, and you're below the line, you're not. And that means that everybody can be successful because we want everybody to be above the line. Two others I'll just quickly mention. One is devoting time. People pay attention. If you are paying attention yourself and spending your precious time on it, they won't if you aren't. Recognizing accomplishments and reproving the recalcitrant are important. When people accomplish something, they need to be recognized for it. I'm not talking about fantastic performance bonuses. I'm talking about making it really clear to the organization that this unit has done an outstanding job and we recognize them for it. And then for those people who aren't part of the team, who have refused to play, one of the simple ways of reproving them is simply to ask them the question again. Last time we asked you how well you were doing on hitting your target, could you give us an update? Can you give us an update? Can you give us an update? Everybody gets it. This team it's an embarrassing question to be asked in front of your peers, your subordinates, and your superiors, because everybody understands exactly why you're being asked that question. And I guess I just end by saying, don't forget to be persistent.
So to realize the performance stat potential, why does pursuing performance leadership require a dangerous commitment from public sector executives?
Well, it requires dangerous commitment from all executives, except the public sector executives have a target that's much more public, that's apt to be on the front page. We're saying, oh, we have to accomplish this by then. And oops, if we don't do it, people will say, aha, you couldn't get it done. So the dangerous commitment is setting the target. And at the same time, without the target, you won't accomplish much. I mean, if Bratton had said, okay, year one, we're going to reduce crime by 2%, they wouldn't have hit 10%, right? So you have to figure out what the balance is between the outrageous target and the achievable target. And your organization will tell you that what's achievable is a lot less than what you think is achievable. And so you have to be prepared to push your organization a little bit. But doing that in a way that could be reported on the front page is dangerous. Mm-hmm.
So, Bob, how perhaps eventually can we modify a performance stat leadership strategy to create a cross-agency or even cross-jurisdictional collaboration that helps produce better results?
I think you have to start with doing it in the stovepipes. You can't do it collaboratively until you've learned to do it in the stovepipes. Learning to do it in the stovepipes is a lot easier than learning to do it collaboratively. So don't, again, try to jump to the top of the performance mountain. Take the steps one at a time, okay? Can we fill the potholes? If we can't fill the potholes, we aren't going to be able to, you know, which requires one crew to fill this set of potholes by the end of this day. Not a technologically complicated task, not an operationally complicated task. If we can't do that, we're not going to be able to do the collaborative stuff that requires people to get together, figure out who's supposed to do what and stuff like that. They won't believe they can't get it done. They won't have the performance mindset. So that's why building the performance mindset helps you get to the stage where you can have collaboration.
So it's a real maturation.
Yeah. Okay. You got to bring the organization along because the organization has been doing quite well. Thank you very much. We're working really, really hard, but we can't work any harder. And the challenge is to get people to think about working smarter and how do we do that.
So, Bob, what does the future hold in this area?
That's not obvious because the cost that the leadership can't figure out at the beginning is their own time. And so to the extent that they have to invest their time in it, it does tend to flounder. People, oh, really? Oh, gosh. Well, do we really have to hold another meeting this week? I would argue that one of the things that's important is to maybe make sure that you have a chief operating officer, whether that person's called that or not, who basically does the internal management, runs the performance stat meetings. That was true certainly in Baltimore, where the first deputy mayor ran the meetings. It's true in Somerville, Massachusetts, where Joe Curtatone has said on numerous occasions, Joe Curtatone being the mayor, has said on numerous occasions, my director of summer stat speaks for me. If you can do that, that means that the mayor can spend things that mayors have to do and only the mayor can do while somebody else is chief operating officer and everybody recognizes his or her authority to run the organization.
That's a wonderful way to end our conversation. I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule, Bob, to join us today.
Thank you for being interested in the book and actually reading it.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Bob Bain, author of The Performance Stat Potential, a Leadership Strategy for Producing Results. Professor Bain is also an author of two IBM Center reports, one on Baltimore City Stat and one on performance leadership. You can order or download a free copy of either report at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.